Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And right now in Staples Center, I got to say, when I said it an hour ago, I felt pretty confident in it. I feel more confident now. I said Lakers-Clippers, marquee game of the night in the NBA. It's nice that Anthony Davis says the Lakers are back. All of these things, they're going to get boat raced by the Clippers tonight because we're all sleeping on the Clippers. Right? They're a title contender that nobody is talking about. And right now, if I had to make my pick of who's going to get out of the Western Conference to win the title, it would be the Clippers. Everybody else is getting the attention, and I think we're just a year early on them. Right now, they are beating the Lakers 52-32 midway through the second quarter. It has been just a blowout. Boogie Cousins leading the way for the Clippers so far. He's got 11 as the Clips are shooting 65% from the field. Likely that's going to come down a bit, but still, it's a 20-point lead midway through the second quarter.
Playing great defense. Anthony Davis limited to 9 minutes in the first half thus far. 2 of 9 from the field, minus 10, just 4 points, 1 rebound on the day. Leader for the Laker, Kyle Kuzma, who's going to need to be a shooting machine here going forward. 4 of 6, 1 of 3 from three-point range. He's got 11. But defense clamping down for the Clippers. Remember when we were on air a couple of years ago talking about, is DeMarcus Cousins the best center in the game? Just a guy you feel bad that he hasn't been able to stay healthy and has now become a bit of a vagabond at this point, trying to find a place to latch on to, maybe have some health and impact. Well, here's the perfect team for it, because they got a lot of balance tonight against this Lakers squad that is just banged up. No LeBron James. Dennis Schroeder isn't there. Talen Horton-Tucker, who's been giving them some good points and minutes off the bench, he's not there. So a little shorthanded, but it doesn't take away from the Clippers and bludgeoning the Lakers. And I think that's been the great thing for the Clippers, is that there hasn't been that focus on them. You know, we've talked about it a little bit, but tonight gets to be the coming out party on national television. And while people will say, hey, the Lakers aren't hurt and there's no LeBron, you know, that only goes so far. You play who's on the court, and if you beat the snot out of them, then it makes you raise the eyebrow going, yeah, we forgot about these guys. And Rondo, playoff Rondo's there too.
Because yeah, that's right.
You know, the potential is there for chaos as it goes forward. So, yeah, the Clippers very dangerous. And being nice and quiet, nobody making any noise. Doc Rivers is gone, so you don't have that fight that's still lurking under the scenes, or just the general. I mean, because let's face it, the media has a love-hate relationship with Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Doc kind of goes along where everybody loves him for a while, and then suddenly, well, wait a minute. Then they love him. No, I hear you on Doc Rivers. It works that way.
Yeah, blowing 3-1 series leads will do that.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome. Now, before we get to the NFL team's fan base that hates me for some ridiculous reason.
They all hate you.
Listen, we've got Seth Everett coming up in 20 minutes. We'll talk about Albert Pujols' career as he's going to be let go by the Angels. He'll pass through waivers. Will he have a new team in 3 days once he passes through waivers? And you know what? Yeah, somebody's going to sign him. He's still a curiosity, even though he's hitting under 200 and the Angels have other guys they want to get time. He's got 5 home runs and 12 RBI this year. You know, it's not like he's hitting 200 and he's got 1 home run and 3 RBIs and he's fallen off the cliff. No, he's hit 5 home runs in April. You know, I mean, that's so far this season with limited playing time, you know, in April into May. He's still, you know, he's third on the team, fourth on the team in RBI. So I don't think this is where it's over for him. I think the next team is where it's going to be over, whether it's La Russa with the White Sox or somebody else. But he's still enough of a curiosity that, okay, we get him out of Anaheim and we get someplace else, and maybe he's not going to hit, you know, 260 or anything, but if he can give us power numbers and he can, you know, maybe he's a DH that plays every other day or something like that, I think there's still a curiosity factor for Pujols, and I think his career continues in a few days.
No, absolutely. I think at a minimum cost, he's a guy that you can bring on, if nothing else, mentor to the young guys. Right here, he was salty for a number of reasons: playing time, where they're at, the fact that he wasn't going to be in the lineup against a guy he's owned in his career. All of these kind of things contribute to, and when you're not swinging the bat particularly well, even with the five home runs, there have been some situational problems. Let's just put it at that, in terms of what Albert Pujols was versus what he is. But that doesn't mean that as a part-time guy, he can't have value. It's just getting yourself in the right frame of mind, as we've seen with so many greats. And we talk about it a lot in the NFL, you know, right? Transitioning from being WR1 to WR2 on a team is a very hard psychological thing for guys to relate to. And certainly for Albert Pujols, given that when we assess his career and start talking Hall of Fame, once it's done, and get these Anaheim stories and angry Angels fans, they all need hugs today. I mean, they really do. They're like, some of the guys, we got guys in the building that I was just like, what did he do to you? He signed a deal that they offered him. Blame the management. Don't blame him. But the idea that, you know, we'll assess him as one of the great right-handed hitters that any of us will and have ever seen, right? Most of your best hitters that we put in the history as the greats, Williams and Gwynn and Boggs and all, Griffey Jr., all these guys are left-handed hitters. So there you go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. And, of course, remember, it was earlier this season that story came out from Albert Pujols' wife that, maybe this is going to be it for Albert, his final season. Then it was, no, not his final season. Oh, okay. So, yeah, he's just looking to get somewhere for the rest of this year and finish off. And he'll wind up getting someplace. Now, what kind of playing time he winds up getting in his final year, but he's enough of curiosity, someone's going to pick him up. Again, we'll have more on this coming up in a few minutes with Seth Everett. But today, I was really surprised because all through my timeline, 49ers fans hate me, and I really don't understand why. You know, last night I told you that, listen, Trey Lance could be the future of the 49ers. He could also be the big trade chip to bring Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco. When San Francisco traded up to number 3, yes, they can go forward with Trey Lance and have Lance and Garoppolo battle it out and eventually turn it over, but they also know that they made a big offer for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers wants out. The Packers right now are saying no. They know eventually it's going to get back to them. So, you knowing the 49ers moved up to number 3 because they liked a lot of guys there, supposedly, Trey Lance could be someone who I could be the future, but I could be the best asset we could have drafted at number 3 to get Aaron Rodgers in a trade, where if we have to make a deal, look, the Packers know that Jordan Love stinks, and so, hey, you know, this will be part of the trade. There'll be picks, there'll be players, but Trey Lance, because the Packers are going to need a new quarterback. So all this stuff today, I'm like, what is going on? And 49ers Web Zone, which is one of the big 49ers, it's the big 49ers fan Twitter account, puts this out today, and I saw this, people put it in my timeline. Jason Smith throws out wild theory that 49ers could trade Trey Lance for Aaron Rodgers. Just from the beginning of the article, I'll preface this by saying what Jason Smith on Fox Sports Radio said about the 49ers and the Packers quarterback might be the most ridiculous thing you read today. Now that you've been sufficiently warned, brace yourself and proceed. Don't you want Aaron Rodgers? What the hell is wrong with you? Don't you want Aaron Rodgers? Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Trey Lance? I think you'd rather have Aaron Rodgers. As much as Trey Lance, because you can't tell me you love Trey Lance. You can't even tell me what he looks like. You can't even tell me what team he played for. You can't even tell me you've seen a highlight of Trey Lance. All right, the guy had one year at a lower level college, and you're saying, oh, Trent, don't you want Aaron Rodgers? I don't get this. I thought we would say, hey, what a great deal. I really thought I was making friends with the 49ers, and now they can't stand me.
Well, I think that's how you get people in, right? The lead has to be, and it's kind of doing a tease on radio of, hey, coming up next, and you're like, wait, what the hell are they going to do? Like, if you make it a nice, sexy tease, then, you know, you just teach classes on it. I think we're going to start our own university, and that's one of the things that you and I will help to educate young would-be broadcasters on. Same thing with writing a column. Hey, this is the most ridiculous. I mean, put it in the headline writer. Whether it's the guy that runs the blog or they put their heads together to come together, but that first line, yeah, I want to see what Jason Smith now said. I mean, the only thing missing was, you know, Jason Smith, also known as Jumpin' Knucklehead Billy or something. Yeah. But here's the thing: if we're gonna have this game of theoretical trades, which is what we're doing anyway. Right, which is what we're doing, and this is I've found myself in some of these things really wanting to take to Twitter to defend you. By the way, how do they have a blue check mark and I don't?
Twitter is the Wild West. I don't know.
Because I want to be able to get tipped. They put in tipping today. Sure. I want people to be able to, you know, say, hey, go get yourself a beer. That was a great take. Way to take Smith down. Or
go get yourself a beer.
Yeah, you know, hey, a couple of bucks here and there. You know, but the idea that if we're going to have this discussion, it becomes, all right, let's have an open discussion on it. No door is closed in any of this. It's Aaron bleeping Rodgers. So don't tell me that any of this can't happen. And categorically dismissing it, and even the way they phrased at the end of the article, I forget it was, you know, Trey Lance, barring blah, 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 and it was like all these, barring this, 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 and this, is likely to be on the roster. It's like, no. If you're going to call everything that you said on air on our show yesterday nonsensical, you don't get to do all the caveating out likely going to be here. That's a weasel term. Right?
It's the Duke like, of Weaselton.
Well, no, because you've gone through this thing. You've quoted your take from our show, right? And transcribed it and everything else. And then at the end, kind of go to you don't really have a finish, so you put a bunch of terminology of like, well, this is most likely still going to be the case. Like, no. If you're that resolute that this is an idiotic proposition, you can't tiptoe at the end. So, you know, word to the wise if you're writing a column. But to the other point is, you know, people say, oh, they don't have the cap space. Garoppolo wouldn't be there, you morons.
He's gone. He's gone. He's somewhere
That's how
else.
They make the salaries go to the and
my
work.
Head hurts. It makes my head hurt it, sometimes,
it's Mike. Garoppolo and one or two other veterans go away to make the money work. Hurt.
I really thought I was going to be the favorite son of the 49ers. Now, 49ers fans hate me, and Packers fans still hate me because I was right about Aaron Rodgers. They hated me before. Now they hate me even more. Really, I try to make friends. I want the world to be a positive place. I don't know how it's happening. I don't know how it's doing like this. I really don't.
Yeah, it's a strange world sometimes. But you know what? As we say all the time, you know, love us or hate us, just don't go, eh. Because we don't do any content to where you go, eh. You either hate what we're saying, you hate the impressions, you hate the analogies. Maybe you don't understand some of the analogies and have to look them up. So now you're mad at me because I am improving your Google skills. Whatever the case may be, in this Jason's theory of Aaron Rodgers not being a dead concept to the 49ers, open your mind. And if you're a 49er fan, the fact that you're giving them a sliver of hope, what did you give it, 15% or 20% on your pie of where Aaron Rodgers could go?
The big pie was
20%. I would be excited if I'm a 49er fan.
I just like that at least they called it a wild theory. Radio host gone wild. Like, I'm going to take my shirt off and start waving it around, and they're playing spring break, and I'm in a big pool, and I'm hitting a big beach ball back and forth. Radio host gone wild. Is Trey Lance the future of the Niners, or is he headed to Green Bay? Radio host gone wild. Jason Smith has the take. Yeah!
In the air like a helicopter, New York City. Come on, raise up. This one's for who?
The camera cuts up to me, and I'm just yelling into it. Yeah! Radio host gone wild!
I don't think anybody would be buying that video like they did on late night TV. By the way, I think there were also a lot of lawsuits filed against dude. Yeah. But you know what? You drunk watching a Jets game, I think people would pay to watch that.
I think I can sell that as an NFT. That's where I can make money. I'll make all kinds of money. I got to start drinking early, though, because the games are at 10 o'clock here in L.A. So
that's okay. Tough.
I got to wake up real early. I got to start with mimosas at like 7 in the morning.
Well, I mean, you can get up and guest on my Sunday morning radio show. And
oh, then, I could do that.
You'll be ready for the day.
No matter how much I've had to drink, I could do that? Okay. All right.
I mean, I'll be sitting there with my finger on the dump button like it's pressure luck. But you know what? We could have fun.
Sure. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. By the way, brace yourselves for this. Not the fact that the Lakers are getting blown out by the Clippers, but Anthony Davis has left the court. He is currently being evaluated in the locker room. It looked like he may have tweaked his right ankle at some point in the first quarter. That is not confirmed, but it's what reporters at the game are tweeting out now. He is definitely being evaluated in the locker room. Looked like it could be a re-aggravation of his ankle injury.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Longtime baseball insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett. It's at Seth_Everett. Check out his Sports with Friends podcast as well, the Hall of Justice podcast. Seth, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What up? Dude, we're good, man. I saw you put on Twitter you were excited to be on. We thought we'd talk about Sports with Friends, so I want to say, let's take 4 seconds and rank the best DC villains. Go.
The best DC villains? Well, there's a lot of Lex Luthers out there.
Yeah, Lex Luthor. And there you go. And that's the end. And that's it. There's the list. It's Lex Luthor. That's it. There you go. That's it. It's right there. So, hey, man. So, look, I know you had Gary Bettman on your Sports with Friends podcast earlier this week. Too bad. Did you have it before the whole thing happened with the Rangers, or was it after?
We recorded it before, so
call him back.
I tweeted it a bunch, and I was going to give you crap for not retweeting it, and then he was trending, and I said, you know, maybe tomorrow we can do another push for the podcast. But yeah, we spoke about 2 hours prior to the incident, and
You know, you want to talk about bad timing. Like, you say that, and I remember I did – this is bad. This is going back to, like, 2003, my first time around at Fox Sports Radio, right? And it was when the whole Maurice Claret drama was going on and with Ohio State, right? He was going to win the Heisman Trophy as a freshman, but then he winds up getting suspended, right? So I'm doing the show in the afternoon one day, and you know, we were able to book Jim Tressel. I'm like, oh, wow, this is awesome. So they said, we got to tape Jim Tressel right before we go on the air because he's got – you know, he's doing his weekly press conference at the top of the hour. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So 11:30, we tape Jim Tressel, and he talks about, Maurice Claret, blah, 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 all this stuff. Okay, great. He finished. And then 12 o'clock, and we're getting ready to play the interview back, and 12 o'clock he has his press conference. Maurice Claret's off the team, and he's gone. I'm like, how do you do this interview with me a half hour ago and not tell me that? I mean, come on, man. How do you not tell me that? It's not like we have this interview ready, and we're going to play it, and we're not going to have the big thing, which is Maurice Claret getting suspended. And being off the Ohio State's football team. And my producer said, no, we'll still play it. It's still big enough news. I go, but it sounds like we don't know what we're talking about because he hasn't mentioned that he's going to be. He says, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we played it back, and I'm like, this is just awful. I mean, everybody we're talking about, the first segment of the show is,
right.
Hey, Maurice
Claret's
off the team. He's off the team. Coming up next, we'll talk with Jim Tressel. Hey, and then it was, where's the admission that he's off the team? Oh, I felt so, I'm like, this is awful.
It's one of my favorite fights with a baseball manager. I got into an argument with Joe Girardi about something very, very similar. Joe Girardi used to tape something for Yankees.com, and I wasn't the main guy, but I offered to do it on a Sunday morning because the Mariners were in town, and I was going with tickets, to hang with some friends. And the Yankees were sending down Jabba Chamberlain. We taped the segment, and remember, this is not live. So we have to record it, upload it to MLB.com, and it goes on Yankees.com. By the time it's done uploading, the transaction will be official. But when we're recording it, it's not official, and he refuses to acknowledge it. I said, as soon as I hit stop, this is going to be outdated, and he didn't care.
Wow.
And it's why I've never forgiven Joe Girardi for that. Because Joe Girardi got paid for that I didn't get any extra for help and trying to help him out.
Wildcat Joe, there you go.
There we go. Where did you come from? Where did you go? All right. So today, speaking of baseball, now I'm glad you were able to tell that story.
Speaking
about
of baseball.
Speaking like of baseball.
That. We have Seth Everett on. Speaking of baseball.
I still can't believe Jim Trestle did a whole interview with me going, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do all these things. And, oh, yeah, no, now he's out.
He just didn't want the memory for the listeners to be the Girardi story. He wanted it to be the Trestle story.
Oh, man. So Albert Pujols is going to be waived by the Angels. He's going to clear waivers in 3 days. Does he continue his career? I think somebody picks him up. He's got 5 home runs, 12 RBIs. He's still a curiosity for somebody, isn't he?
I would say that he could, and I would say that the St. Louis Cardinals should. I mean, I think that that's something that, you know, let him play for 5 months and just, you know, get his accolades. And I think it would be a great distraction. I was never a favor of this Angels contract. I always think of him in a St. Louis uniform, and I'd like to see him finish there. Any team, especially an American League team, could use him, you know, especially as a DH. But the reality of it is I'd send him to St. Louis. I just think he doesn't have to be an everyday player, but just people would come out to that ballpark just to watch him take one pinch hitting appearance.
Yeah, put butts in seats, have the big celebration. You can start printing a bunch of
something
t-shirts
in baseball
merch.
To sell the game. Wow,
sell,
what an idea.
Sell, sell. And if nothing else, he's a hitting coach. If he wants
to
assume the
role,
right?
He can help everybody. My favorite Albert Pujols story. In 2006, he couldn't play on the World Baseball Classic Dominican team because they couldn't get an insurance policy because he had had off-season surgery. And the Dominican Republic team was playing an exhibition against the Cardinals. And he refused to play against the Dominican Republic because he would not want to face his countrymen. And I was on the radio in St. Louis, and I said, wait a minute. You're telling me that Team Dominican Republic wouldn't benefit from facing Albert Pujols in his prime 4 times in a game? That wouldn't help the World Baseball Classic? And you would have thought I had spoken the Lord's name in vain. The vitriol that I got from St. Louis, and I was never allowed to live it down. Because when Albert Pujols was a St. Louis Cardinal, he walked on water.
Well, I mean, you probably don't have as many cities that hate you as Jason does, though.
Yeah, I'm racking them up now, Seth. Midwest, West Coast, now it's all happening for me.
Oh, St. Louis is underrated as one of the most obnoxious fan bases in baseball.
Good. See, we agree. I've been preaching that for years, and people tell me, no.
St. Louis
I used to go there. Games.
Right. Yeah. Just because there's not as much media does not mean the fan base is any less obnoxious.
No, you know what I always thought was I felt about St. Louis Cardinals fans like I felt whenever on an NFL game, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they would say, you know, he's a smart quarterback. Yeah, because, you know, Harvard, he's a smart quarterback. Every time, they you know, St. Louis Cardinal fans, they're the smartest fans in baseball. I'm like, why are they the smartest fans? Why can't Mets fans be smart? Well, because we root for the Mets.
Because they say they are.
Oh, they're the smartest fans in baseball. Cardinals fans are the smartest fans. I'm like, really? Are they the smartest fans, really? Is there some kind of – was there a college bowl or an MLB bowl contest that I missed and Cardinals fans wound up winning? I was like, why can't other teams be the smartest fans? I think if you wind up jumping from winning team to winning team, you're the smartest fans in baseball because, hey, I always root for a winner. I'm smart. I'm not going to root for a team that stinks. I'm just going to keep bouncing from team to team.
Well, and any St. Louis fan that calls your show from between now and the end just because of this segment, just say this. You won the World Series in 2006 and closed your bars at 1 o'clock. 1 a.m. Wow. On the night you win the World Series, don't close your bars. I'm sorry.
Special executive order. Yeah. Mm. Wow, I would concur with that. All right, so
future mayor of St. Louis, Seth Everett, with us.
Well, he's trying to win him back by having the bars open later. Seth, we've seen the Astros on the road and the Yankee fans and official complaints about how they're being mistreated verbally. The inflatable trash cans have been confiscated. Aren't they getting exactly what they deserve at this point?
Well, do they deserve? I mean, Actually, they don't deserve enough. The funny thing about it is if you go inside their clubhouse, Dusty Baker has said he is prepping his team and reminding them all the time to expect it. And if you're going to start acting like a baby, it's just going to make it worse. So they have the right guy in that situation. My praise for Dusty Baker knows no bounds. And the one thing that I have acknowledged, at least from this Astros debacle, is that the best way to heal that franchise is to bring in Dusty Baker. And he has done the right things. It's these players are acting like babies.
But here's the thing, Seth, is that they have to understand that this is how it's going to be this season, right? We went through it last season.
No, it'll be longer than this season.
It was 30 games, and fans weren't allowed to be at games. So, yeah, you're going to have this season to have to answer to that.
Right, and as crowds increase, I'm sure you guys have talked about the New York idea that they're going to have vaccinated sections and then non-vaccinated sections in Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. So the plastic garbage cans are going to come from the non-vaccinated sections. You just know that.
Okay.
Okay. Seth Effort with us, longtime MLB insider. Check him out, Seth_Everett on Twitter. All the podcasts, the Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice.
Justice, we had a guy from The Mandalorian.
How about that?
Who'd you have on from Mandalorian?
The evil scientist that experimented on Baby Yoda, Dr. Pershing. His name is Omid Abtahi. And he is he was on the Hall of Justice this week, and he had a job where he found out he was going to be in a Star Wars show and couldn't tell anybody. And that is a unique form of torture.
Oh, wow.
Like being part of the extended Marvel Universe as well, right? Hey, I got to go away on a shoot for a couple months. What are you doing? Can't tell you. I'm a secret. I'm a surprise guest, right? Coming in.
Oh, he was in Homeland. I see. He was in Homeland. He did some episodes of Homeland.
He was in Homeland. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. He's in 24 also.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was a long time ago. The seasons of 24 kind of bleed together.
Was it the reboot of 24?
No. Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry. We were talking about the 2006 World Series, like, just 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I was just giving you a little bit of, lathering you up and giving your CV to the good folks here. Biggest surprise for you? I mean, obviously we were excited about the Orioles and Means throwing a no-hitter, but...
I watched that game. That was wild. I watched that game from start to finish.
Well, Smith's got a relation to this. Go ahead, Smith. Tell him how you're connected to this.
My wife's cousin... Okay, my wife's cousin by marriage is Sam Haggerty, who broke up the perfect game with the strikeout run down to first base. That's my wife's cousin by marriage.
That's fantastic.
I can't go to Baltimore ever again. They hate me in Baltimore now.
I see a future Sports with Friends appearance for him, not you.
There we go.
But for him.
Yeah, it's another of the states and cities that you can't have. Yeah, you can't even get crab cakes anymore. No. You've been banned. what's your biggest surprise through the first month since we're now entering month two of this? Is it the Dodgers' woes, the fact that the Orioles are at 500? What do we got?
No, the National League East has been very surprising in that I thought all those teams would be better. I thought the Cubs would be better. The Dodgers are in this stretch now where they've lost 8 of their last 10, and the Yankees were in a stretch just like that 10 days ago. So I think it's all cyclical. I'm not a huge believer in San Francisco. I'm not a huge believer in the Red Sox. The Red Sox are fascinating. They got out to such a bad start, and then all of a sudden won 11 in a row, and everybody is now talking about Alex Cora like he is some kind of soothsayer. It's pretty impressive the way they have rallied around him. But, I like that the Tampa Bay is hanging in there despite all the defections in the offseason. It looks pretty competitive out there. The problem that I'm finding is you've already had 3 no-hitters, strikeouts are at an all-time high, home runs are down. And so the slow action is getting slower, and the offense that supposedly everybody loved is happening less and less.
You can follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett. That is at Seth_Everett. The Hall of Justice podcast, Sports with Friends. If you want to hear an outdated Gary Bettman podcast, it is there for you.
Not outdated. The ESPN and the Turner deal just got signed.
That's, okay, all right, all right.
Very focus good. On it.
Again, follow Seth on Twitter, Seth_Everett. Again, great stuff. Hall of Justice, Sports with Friends. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. I'll be here.
See you, Seth.
There goes Seth Everett. Wait a minute. I mean, that Maurice Clarett story, I was so mad. I'm like, how does he do an interview with me and not say anything and then do an interview with everybody, you know, 20 minutes later saying, yeah, he's out. And he's off the team. I'm like, how do you not do that? How do you do that to me? Why do the interview then? Why do the interview? I don't understand. Why do the interview? You're just going to not say anything, and then a half hour later, you're going to let go with a really big story.
No, you're right. I mean, it's not that far off from, hey, this guy's going to do the rounds going through Radio Row, but here's a laminated list of things you can't ask about. Those are the only things that matter.
Oh, man. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Clippers are still boat racing the Lakers, 71-52. It has been all Clippers so far. But coming up next, Anthony Davis has left the game. He will not return. I'm very puzzled as to the official reason that the Lakers have given for him to not return.
What a clown show.
We're going to get into that coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Get ready for the end of the Lakers conversation. Their path to back-to-back championships is over. Get ready for the doom and gloom. Right now they're getting smacked by the Clippers, 74-54, midway through the third quarter. This is not unexpected. The Lakers still playing without LeBron James, but they're also going to play the rest of this game without Anthony Davis, who left after 9 minutes. There was a play near the sideline. Anthony Davis goes down. He's grabbing his right ankle, the one that kept him out for so long. And he's left out, and initial reports come in from reporters at the game. I mentioned this a few minutes ago. Likely looking at his ankle, because clearly you see the play. He goes down. He's grabbing his ankle, and it hurts. He has to take his shoe off. So Anthony Davis not coming back for this game. Okay, I get it. The official reason by the Lakers is that he has back spasms. I mean, what? We all want what? I mean,
well, the play that they keep showing, he's clearly clutching his ankle. Now, obviously, we're doing a live show and conversing with guests and looking up information to you know, as we're live. So I can't say that I've seen every second of action. I've seen a couple people reference perhaps a little bit of a tussle and a spill to the court at another point in the game, but when you're showing me the play of dude going down along the sideline and clearly you see his ankle buckle and he goes to the court and he's holding his ankle and then putting up a graphic that says will not return because of back spasms, it's incongruous. And I've not seen a replay of anything since that occurred and that information came out to show me another play where, and look, back spasms come, right? I mean, look, we're not 20 anymore, and nor are we prime athletes. I'm sure there have been many aches and pains that are unexplained that happen instantaneously, right? And without any kind of provocation. So I can't dismiss it categorically. I would just wonder why that's the play that's being shown as the explanation for why back spasms take him out of this game.
I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, so is the ankle okay? And the ankle's all right, and it was just the back spasms? I mean,
and
I don't
maybe
I
he'll be able to play tomorrow. So now, since you're getting boat raced, it's precautionary?
I mean, yeah, because tomorrow's game is against the Blazers. I mean, it's a huge game tomorrow because the Lakers are going to lose tonight. They're going to have the same record as the Blazers. They're going to be tied for sixth, and they could be in the play-in round one game from now, one day from today. They're suddenly in the play-in round.
So maybe that's the thinking here, is that – you know, he's not right and back's acting up a little bit in the ankle. Let's just take the L, let these guys fight it out as best they can, and then regroup for tomorrow.
Man, I'll tell you, this is just really something. Because, you know, the Lakers, you look, obviously Anthony Davis, and you wait and you see what happens. You still have to hold out hope that Davis comes back healthy, LeBron comes back healthy, and we get, you know, they get to the playoffs that way. But at this point, I think if you're the Lakers, you just have to resign yourself to the fact that if we're in the play-in round, we're in the play-in round. You know, the pressure you're going to put on yourselves to try to win your last six games and stay in sixth place when you're going to play the next two without LeBron, at least we found that out today. He's going to be out another couple of games, but then could come back. Anthony Davis, who knows when he comes back in the lineup. I think if
Schroeder's
if
out, point, THT ain't coming back for a couple of games.
You just have to say, you know what, we're going to finish in the play-in round and it's going to be fine. And we're going to have to play and, you know, we're going to play two games. We'd have to lose twice, but still nobody wants to be in there. But I think if you just understand and accept that fact, you can now get ready for the playoffs, right? Because right now, if you're the Lakers and you are trying to say, okay, we got to do everything we can to hold on to the sixth spot, and if you were playing and you had Anthony Davis and LeBron James both playing together, I would say, okay, let's try to figure that out and stay in the sixth spot, because you don't know who's going to finish third or fourth. You know, the Nuggets and Clippers are back and forth right now. You don't know who's going to finish in third, who's going to finish in fourth. But with this point right now, it's like, you know what? Let's just, whatever happens, happens. If we're in the play-in round, we're in the play-in round. And let's figure out the best thing we need right now to be ready for the playoffs when these guys come back. And the playing around, that's just going to be what it is. And sometimes that mental decision of knowing, okay, we're going to allow this pressure to just let it go and we're going to focus on something else can really help you. Because that's where I'd be if I was Lakers right now. I wouldn't even think about six. I'd say, hey, we're in the playoffs, right? We're in the playing round. It's the playing round. And we'll figure it out. That'll be very freeing for them, I think.
Yeah, I would not be stressing about these final games. Take to the play-in. Make sure you're as healthy as you can possibly be. That's it. Because fully assembled, we know what the team is potentially capable of doing. But as of right now, you know, you've just got a bunch of walking wounded and a Vegas misdirection attempt to get away from that ankle injury with the back spasms might be part of it as well.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harbin. Coming up next, I made an oh by the way prediction I didn't think would come true last week on the show, and now it looks like it really might. It's next, Vox.